There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. A couple hours of live local talk, and you, of course, a big part of the show. 343-0106 for the phone and text. A reminder, too, if you have the brand new FM Talk 106.5 app, you can leave us a talkback message. When you download the app, you'll look at the front page where you're getting the streaming of the station or the access to the podcast or our social media feeds. You'll see an icon of like a microphone icon on that screen. If you'll mash that, it'll let you go and record a message and then send it to us here at the station. So you want to do that, use the FM Talk 106.5 app to communicate with us that way. A lot of text here for the congressman and on the subject of the municipal elections. We're going to tackle both of those coming up in today's show, but batter up. And first in the line today, AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl joins us in studio. Good to see you, Congressman, and you traveled hard today to be back in AL1.
Yeah, we just landed and raced over here, and good to be back in Alabama. Just to be Wednesday, it's been a long week.
Yeah, no joke. And, you've talked with us several times here since the, what I call the tragedy, or the failure in Afghanistan has unfolded. You are our emissary in Washington. You're somebody who's on the Armed Services Committee. I know there's only so much you could say, but kind of give us a briefing as you come home back to AL1 here on a Wednesday, what we should know at home about the situation in Afghanistan.
Well, up till about Monday, it was a rescue mission, and we all stayed very positive, and we got a lot of phone calls. We were seeking people and families to let us know if they had people over there, if they had interpreters that were over there, any information we could collect on them. We were feeding that to the Department of Defense, and we were able to get a few out. Some stories we probably need to get into, but with Biden declaring the 31st, and we were in a briefing yesterday, and they kept hinting that they were not going to extend it. And I had Kevin McCarthy sitting there next to me, and I bent over to him, and I said, it's not going past the 31st. This is going from bad to the absolute worst nightmare I could dream of. And it has. I was supposed to fly back in last night. We were getting so many phone calls from people with leads on family members and friends, and I got on a phone call with one guy, and he was trapped in over there, and we're still trying to get him out. They had killed his father just a few hours before that, beheaded his father, because they were trying to find him and get to him. And the sad thing is according to what Biden's done, they're dead. Yeah. They're dead. And I couldn't tell him that. I'll fight to the last minute to get out whomever I can get out and get information to the people that need. But it's a seal. We're still collecting names. I was on the phone last night with a Department of Defense till almost midnight, and of course I got an early flight this morning.
You got up at 3 to get here.
Yeah, and that it's just part of the job. You do what you got to do. We're in a crisis here.
Yeah.
So I'm not complaining. I'm glad they got early flights to get us back. But anyway, with that said, it's a scary situation. It's a sad situation. And I've told everyone, let's not get mad, let's not get angry. It's about to be time to get mad and get angry. But just from a human standpoint, it just tears your heart out. These people are talking about their children, and you got them on the phone, and they're pleading and begging for you to get them out, and you're at the mercy of an administration that I hate to say truly don't care. I don't know if they care or not. I don't know if they're smart enough to care or not. And this is the Democrats and Republicans that are getting these phone calls. Mm-hmm. This is one thing that is driving us together. I mean, the other congressmen, they're on the floor. They're Democrat congressmen. They're getting the same phone calls, and they're furious with.
Talking to you? Are you getting? Oh, yeah. They're letting you know that. You know.
We're exchanging information and doing what we can do to help one another. But in the midst of this, Nancy Pelosi wants to push through this $3.5 trillion package, which is probably the most heartless thing I've seen done. So, it's been a tough week. Been a tough week for me. I'm not quite used to this. I've buried some close family members and been through a lot of things in my life. But by George, this week's been tough. And as an American, we better be taking it personal. Everybody says, well, you know, you gotta impeach him. Well, you know, that's the people's job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what they call voting. We got to get out and vote. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat, but if you're a veteran, you better be watching what's going on right here. Forget the title. Mm-hmm. That man, that administration left our brothers behind.
True.
And we'll never know the true number. That's the scary part. And we sat through all the briefings yesterday, and I watched, of course, AOC wasn't there, but her gangle, you know, her little passel sat right in front of me, and I watched them giggle through the whole briefing, and it just pissed me off.
They giggled.
I don't know what they were giggling about. I didn't want to hear their conversation.
While this is being discussed.
Yes. While they were going through a secret briefing, you know, it's where they strip you down and all that good stuff. And they didn't tell us anything we didn't already know. I'll put it that way, but I don't know what they were giggling about, but it just infuriated me because this is serious stuff. Serious stuff.
It is indeed. And I want to talk about some of the other things going on, but on the situation in Afghanistan and President Biden speaking again yesterday, as they were pulling troops. I mean, we pulled the troops out. That plan pulled the troops out early, left this to happen, then brought troops back in, right, to reinforce, and now as of today's the 25th, yesterday the 24th, they were pulling troops back out. I'm left scratching my head as just a citizen, but looking at this and going, this is the, if you could choose to make, you know, if you just flipped a coin, once in a while you're going to make the right choice, right? It seems like it's, I don't know by design, because I don't cotton to conspiracies, but it seems like in every turn, they make the absolute wrong choice.
This is Jerry's crystal ball that I'm looking into. That everything that Trump put in place, he's deliberately changed. I mean, that's known. Everyone understands that. The border has blown up. We've put so much pressure. We've made him release so many numbers. There's so much drugs. It's beginning to hit the streets. People are beginning to wake up. His own people, his own media is beginning to point out the open borders and what problem that's creating. I think he thought this would be a positive distraction, and he overrode his some of his people, who I'm sure are smart enough to know that if you pull the military out, they're going to take over. It's that simple. So I think it blew up worse. Now on top of that,
but the fix is he could in this. Now we're fixing it, and it seems to be a continued screw up in the fix.
That's what I'm getting at. Now we're in a situation. He's locked himself in with this 31st. I don't care what agreement I've made with a bunch of terrorists. I'm not going to till the last person is accounted for. They can sit and wait.
Yep.
And I'd have every barrel pointed at them. I mean, I'm getting furious. I'm at a point.
You know
now,
what? You're representing us. There's a lot of us furious.
Well,
a lot of us are furious.
You know, we're at a point now we almost can't get any more people out. And the people we're bringing out are very questionable. Just because they're Afghan and they want out of there, that doesn't make them good people.
No, but let's get the people.
We'll screen them.
Yes.
We've got to have a screening process. We have to have a screening process. And they are doing that. They flagged one 2 days ago that were on the terrorist watch list. And we brought them out of the country on one of our planes. So we've got to screen them. But here we've got immigration issues or illegal immigration issues on two different sides now, international and also the border itself.
Yeah.
So, but I think the president's just in quicksand, and the more he struggles, the deeper he sinks. But by pulling people out, again, I think he's trying to bring an end to this painful grind that we're in. And again, it just makes it worse again. It's just the most silliest decisions I've ever seen a grown man make in my life. I'm not military. I'm not. I've got enough common sense. You don't move the military until you're ready to pull out. That's the last thing you move.
Yeah, I wonder this, Congressman. This has just been in my mind for a few days. And does it get to, I mean, not that they haven't thought about this at the Pentagon, but if I'm sitting there and I'm in some decision-making role in the military or advising this administration, State Department, the 31st, we have seen when you put arbitrary dates on things without conditions, people will sandbag, they'll stall, they'll do whatever to get to that date and have a problem. The Taliban wants us out, right? They want us out. We agree that they want us out. Do they want us out more than they want these hostages or potential hostages or to take retribution? Because if they want us out more, it seems like we could say to them, listen, Taliban, you want us out, we want out. The faster you get out of our way and stop this and let us get our people, the faster we'll be out. And that's not the 31st. It's when we get the last person. And I don't care. They don't trust us. I don't trust them. But in the common sense world, y'all want us out. We want to get out. We're not leaving till we get these people. The way to expedite this is y'all get the hell out of the way and let us get our people out, and then we'll be gone.
I'm very curious what deal that the president actually struck with them, because I'm sure there's going to be pallets of money sitting on a runway before this is
Afghanistan, how much money has gone through that place? Taliban, Northern Alliance, government forces?
First to say I want us out of there. I do, but we've got to come out in orderly fashion. But I think that's all gone. That's all gone. So now we're just trying to struggle through, trying to get what handful we can get out now and just see how it plays out. And we know how it's going to play out. And I mean, this is Biden's woke army. Mm-hmm. This is his wokeness that he's made agreements with them, and they're playing nice
playing nice. If the Taliban wanted to play the failures of the president on this, they would back off some and let him think. But they're not even. Respect.
They have no fear. Restrained themselves, considering the strong position they're in.
But they got to know that if they really attacked, then we'd level air assets on them.
They don't care. Somebody said, we've got thousands of armored vehicles over there. I said, they only need two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at the brand new Humvees, and there's 25 guys sitting on top of the Humvee.
Yeah, I want to get to that when we come back after the break, because you were the first when you were on with us 10 days ago or so, and you talked about those Blackhawks.
Yeah.
And I want to get to that. Human beings first, American citizens number one.
31st, we're going to start talking about something totally different.
Then the question is about what assets are left there, and I want to get into that. But I also, before we go to the news here, and then we'll take some calls on the backside here. You've been strong on this since the get-go. Number one, to get information on people that here, so many veterans here, and people that needed to get out. But the other one, to speak to our veterans.
Our veterans have got to understand they did their job, mission accomplished. We've spent the last 20 years, we have not had an attack on the mainland. That was their job. They took the fight to them.
Mm-hmm.
After 9/11, our military did their job. They took the fight to them. We have not had an attack. So I want everybody that has a veteran in their life, they know a veteran, call and thank them. I don't care what military, what branch of the military, what they may have served in Iraq, Afghanistan, Korea. It doesn't matter. Thank them, because they've done their job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they need to hear right now. But we've seen a spike in the suicide rates of our Afghan warriors, and it's that's startling, because they feel like they went over there, they lost their friends, they lost limbs, they've lost everything for what? That's what they're sitting around scratching their head for. What they lost for, or what they're looking for, is somebody to say, we've spent 20 years in peace because of you.
Yes,
and they need to hear that from us.
Yes, they do. Yeah, and if somebody, we've talked about this. My friend Bryant Knight was on Monday talking about resources out there. We know we have the Veterans Assistance Line. But the important thing for those of us that are friends of vets, to call them, like you said.
Yeah.
And see if they're okay.
Yeah.
I've been pestering folks for about 2 weeks now, friends of mine.
I call my own son every couple of days, and he's hard to read. He's a poker player, just very hard to read visually and vocally. So
But touch base?
Yeah, I let him know I love him. Yeah. I've called several veterans that I know that served over there, several.
And the resources I know through your office, and we'll talk about when we get back, if somebody is in that position, they have a friend, a family member, it's them. They need help. If they can't find the information, y'all can give them the information on where to go.
Go to Congressman Jerry Carl's website. We have a page there for nothing but that. And all the groups that are set up to handle that and actually work with these warriors, it's there. Okay. We're ready.
All right. We'll talk more about this on the backside and get to your text as well at 343-0106. Our guest, AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Remember, check out the new app. You can check us out online, fmtalk1065.com, facebook.com, Twitter, Instagram, all those platforms, and continue our conversation with Congressman Jerry Carl. A lot of questions coming in here, and comments here. Grant says, first question for Mr. Carl. What do you think about the White House press secretary yesterday saying the evacuation of Afghanistan is a success? I say it's hot garbage. And the second question, how do you feel about the left, the media, and this administration trying to blame Trump for this mess? Mind you, they just called it a success. Their words, literally, unbelievable. Do these people think we are stupid and blind? Keep doing God's work, Congressman, and thank you for being rational, honest voice for the United States in D.C. Jerry, seriously, thank you, sir.
So what's the successful portion of it? Is it successful because we left behind 8,000 Americans? Is it successful because we got out 30,000 Afghanistans? Is it successful because we let the Taliban set the date and the time that we have to be out of there? Where's the success here? But one thing I do know about D.C. is they will keep sending that message out to people believe it. That's the whole reasoning for what she's doing there. She just keeps repeating it over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And the liberal news will pick it up. I haven't seen any news today, and I try not to read a whole lot of liberal stuff, but I do have to do a little homework every once in a while. But my guess is the Americans are not going to take that very positive, period, because I don't understand where the successful part of it. We've got a commander-in-chief here that's a coward. He is a coward. I called him this last night. I was furious last night, and I'm still furious today. He's a coward. You don't break and run when you've got military like we've got.
Yeah.
We've got a woke military. That's what he's trying to make.
Well, commanders, I'd say.
Well, commanders, not the military. Yeah. Thank you for straightening that out. You're exactly right. But, you know, they want to hold hands and stand around the fire and Kumala, my Lord, and sing songs with terrorists, and it doesn't work that way.
Right.
So turn the military loose. Let them do what they do best.
Yeah.
Or is it going to get us back in a war? At this point, I want the people. I want my Americans back on this soil.
Yeah,
that's all I'm asking.
And if you're this administration, I try to look through it through their shoes, and you're looking for, you know, CYA and popularity. You know, obviously, you see the approval index way down for President Biden right now. What would it be if you leave people there and we have a hostage situation, which it would be, or it turns into what we saw with, like, Daniel Pearl, and we start seeing execution videos of Americans. How does that – if I'm in the White House and I'm trying to keep up my popularity or protect whatever – you know what would fail that? Is day after day seeing people executed, these videos go out like we saw from
– but what you're going to see them do, they're going to try to blame Trump.
Yeah.
They're going to say Trump started this whole scenario. Trump made the agreement.
They've undone everything Trump did. They could have undone this as easily.
I sat in a meeting with Pompeo, and he went through exactly what they orchestrated over there, what they put together. It was a controlled pullout. But the last thing that was moving was the military.
Mm-hmm.
They had all the equipment lined up to come out. They had everything set up, and Biden steps in there. Now, the dates, the times, the agreements he's using is cover, but he's changed everything in that.
He could change the deal. I mean, he could.
Would you?
And also, those were conditional.
With terrorists, it just doesn't work that way.
Well, all right, can you hang on?
Sure,
all right, coming right back. More with Congressman Carl right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along and our guest, AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl, and talking about the situation in Afghanistan. Read a text here from Tony in Fairhope. Congressman said, why is the United States asking permission from a terrorist group? We need to go over there and remind them who we are and get our people.
Bingo. Bingo. It's that simple. Now's the time to show strength. If the president wants to save himself and save his political career and save the Democrat Party, Democrats are going to pay heavily for this. I don't care about the politics, and Sean, I want you to understand that. I don't care about the politics.
It's not the time for it right now.
It's people.
Yes.
It's lives. It's children. If you're a young girl over there, if you're 12 years old, what's going to happen to that 12-year-old girl? Our imagination can't even go that far.
And we can't even. And the problem is, there's such a disconnect because a culture, all the people, sure, that would let that happen, it's so embedded in the culture that it seems okay.
But
like they just, well, of course,
But if he's going to save the Democrat Party and any of their strength as well as his legacy, as you said a while ago, you called it, he's got to show the strength.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you send in the cavalry in there. And just start pushing them back. Let them shoot the first fire, let them fire the first shot. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You let them start it. But we cannot pull out 31st. I will be in Washington when this comes down on Monday. I think it's Tuesday and Wednesday. Anyway, I'll be in D.C. and it's going to be interesting.
Why would we let them? I know there's a lot of things I don't know. I'm just barely smart enough to know that I don't know a lot of things. But I mean, this arbitrary date, if I'm the Taliban, that's from today to the 31st, I'll hang out here. You're not going to make me do anything. I've been living in Pakistan in a cave for 20 years.
I think in Biden's mind, it's just like pulling that Band-Aid off. You just do it all at once and get it over with. You know it's going to hurt.
And I think we're given a false choice, the American people, when the president has spoken, that it's like, well, you wanted to get out of Afghanistan, so what are you complaining about now? There's plenty of people that wanted us out of Afghanistan that this is not the only – this thing that we're given, like this is the only way to do it. I don't believe it for a second.
Again, just like the border, there were plans already drawn up, already put in place that we should have followed. The border's a prime example. It's exact – and just stop construction on it. That's his response.
Mm-hmm.
Afghanistan, pick a different date and bring them all out at once.
I mean, obviously, there's I was going to get into political optics. I'll do this later. The political optics of 9/11 and him being able to say that we're out there. But something you said earlier, I think is interesting. To keep the politics out or to make it bipartisan, your fellow congressmen that are Democrats, they're in districts like AL1 and wherever they are. Their phones are ringing.
Mm-hmm.
Their constituents, there's plenty of people that are Democrats that don't like what they see here. There's plenty of people that might be Democrats that have, either they served or their family member served, and they see these people being left behind. That must be a chance for a revolt from them, because if I'm a Democratic congressman, and I know I got to get money from the party, I know all that stuff, but these constituents are inundating me, my job is to my district and those people.
And I get that.
And I think I buck the big party.
The big party will squash you. They did that on this $3.5 trillion. But what's there to fight for if there's nothing left? And the Democrats they'll start pushing back. We will start picking them off one at a time. But this is not a Republican and Democrat issue. I mean, just because you're a Democrat, you don't want to see this go down. I mean, we've got a lot of veterans that are Democrat. God bless them.
Mm-hmm.
Thank them.
That's what I'm saying.
They're entitled to their opinion and their views. I'm all for it.
This is bipartisan to me.
This is a different issue. These are brethren that are left behind.
This text here from Travis. This is a good analogy, Travis. The way Biden got out of Afghanistan was kind of like a lifeguard with a pool full of children saying, the pool's now closed, and the lifeguard walks to his car and hauls butt without making sure all the kids are out of the pool.
Yeah.
I'm gone. Okay, shift's
that.
Over.
That makes sense.
My shift's over. Bye.
That makes sense.
Bye. And this idea, and I know we keep going back to this, but I take this seriously. If we made promises to people. I do this. You're a congressman. I'm a dude who lives in AL1. If we made a promise to somebody, we'd get them out.
Get them.
That's my promise, too. You see what I'm saying? Like, I take it that personally. Because tactically, who would ever work with us again? Let's even take it there for a second. Tactically, what group in what country in some date in the future, God forbid, would work with us?
In the Armed Service Committee, there was a group, they call them Codales, and they were going through and they stop at all the military institutes, and they also meet with the governments, and they were going through Eastern Europe. And they had just started the trip. And by the time they got to the fourth day, they said they had the governments over there, asked them, said, are y'all going to pull out on us next?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
that's the mentality. That is the mentality. And these are, and you say, well, you know, we don't have to stay there. Yes, we do. Those are some very strategic locations of that matches up to equipment and foot soldiers that we've got all over the world.
It's
a much bigger story than just Afghanistan.
It is. I mean, I talked about this.
Remember the base that he gave away. That was the best base we had. Why would you give
Bagram Air
Base? Thank you. And why would you give that away?
So Bagram, you know, was the jewel of Afghanistan and air bases. Talking to people, a friend of mine that served there said, Sean, you wouldn't realize how huge Bagram was. Massive place, and a place where we could bring. They said tactically they did have some issues because you had high ground around Bagram that the Taliban could fire down on. But of course, we would have air assets to deal with that. But that's the only down part of Bagram. But they said, you know, and then I'll hear pundits on TV say, well, you know, the distance from Kabul to Bagram is this. Fine, bring the people from that region into Bagram and airlift them out. Bring the people from this other region into another air base. I'm just a guy, but if I look at Afghanistan, I look at our air bases, Bagram absolutely as the jewel, but you know, I mean, Karzai Airport and the other airports in different parts of the state or different parts of the country, you bring the people to those places closest to them and airlift them out instead of having somebody walk a death road to Kabul to try to get to the one place. And if I'm the Taliban, I just sit and wait. I just sit and wait for you. I don't need to go find you. You're going to come to the airport, and I'm going to get you.
Yeah, you got
to
come through three checkpoints anyway. That's pretty good odds of figuring out who you are.
So at least spread it out, but we let those things go.
I don't have an answer what's going on in that administration. It just totally confuses me. But I think the repercussions from this are going to be years down the road.
Yeah.
I mean, the equipment we left behind, we mentioned that earlier. I wasn't going to share any numbers, but I know the numbers have already leaked out.
Can you talk
175 some? Black Hawk helicopters over there. 175, that's what they've got. Some of them are still crated. When I say crated, they haven't even, you know, been had wings put on them ready to fly. You know, there's 30 some odd thousand different armored vehicles of different types over there. I'm talking from cars all the way up to tanks. I mean, there's just a massive amount of equipment over there. And I'll give them every bit of that if they give us all of our people back. I'll give them every piece of it. Because when that last person comes out, that's when you start bombing.
Yeah.
And you push stuff off the back.
You think there's any...
No, not this administration. No. They don't have what it takes to stomach for something like that. But you can't...
What about the news story when a Black Hawk's used against us?
You can't let a bully run you off a playground.
No.
You just can't do it. You may walk away from there beat up, but you don't walk away from there.
Well said. If we could talk about the amount of money and the danger of that technology also being sold elsewhere to other governments and being reverse engineered.
The largest yard sale is going on right now because Taliban don't need most.
But what about the day? You know, they have they have the 130th biggest air force on planet Earth, bigger than a lot of countries y'all could name off the top of your head. They have they have
more helicopters than Australia.
Yeah.
The country of Australia.
But what about what about the day a Black Hawk is used to kill either our people or allies or people friendly to us?
It's on this administration's shoulders, period.
And
we've got to keep it that way. We've got to keep the pressure on. We've got to make them understand that.
President Biden spoke yesterday of this, you know, maybe it could be a civil war, talking about Afghan security. Is there, what you can tell, I know there's limits, but... Is there, I mean, where are they?
It's been a civil war over there for 1,000 years.
Right, but where's new? Are we expecting to have a second quarter comeback from the Afghan security forces and they're going to get all that equipment and they're going to fight the Taliban?
Sean, we don't know. They're not sharing any intel with us.
Seems like they've all either if their Afghan security forces, they're in hiding, they have left the country, or they're dead.
I know people that sit on those committees that know that kind of stuff, and I'm trying to read one of them has sent me a text. They are furious. So whatever they know, they're not going to tell us, obviously.
Right.
But if they're mad, they can't be good. It can't be good.
Yeah, I mean, it was drifted out in that presser yesterday, and I'm just trying to understand that. Like I said, I don't know, but is there... So if so, if they're the cavalry, the Afghan security forces are going to secure Afghanistan for the Afghan government, or where the hell are they?
Listen, we can send forces in there and lock that town down. We can do that. We can do it. You know, they're supposed to all be migrating to one town right now because that town won't give up. You know, catch them in the desert. Do what we have to do. I'm sorry, turn it into a sheet of glass.
Yeah.
But get our people out.
So this 31st will arrive. Yeah, that's...
I think it's Wednesday.
Wednesday. So y'all will be in session.
We won't be in session, but I'll be there with the Armed Service Committee all week.
Are they going to... And you said this earlier, and it's very important, but it's like compared to Afghanistan, it's definitely moves down my list. But this huge spending plan, you know, that came out of the Senate, you had the bill, the $1.3 trillion that was at least... some kind of infrastructure thing like I've seen before, even though there's a bunch of fluff in it.
Yeah.
And then this $3.5 billion sidecar that comes with it. What are y'all going to see?
Civilian.
Yeah,
infrastructure bills.
Yeah. Everything's infrastructure,
Congressman. $3.5. What got pushed through yesterday by Pelosi and company was actually the limits that it can be set at, which is $3.5 trillion. So now, over the next, between now and probably late October, November, they will start putting that package together, what that package looks like, and they'll start negotiating it. They can't spend over that, but I'm sure they'll spend every dollar. Now, the $1.3 trillion, mm-hmm. there's been so many numbers thrown around, so if I'm wrong, when your caller says I'm wrong, it's a different number, that's fine, I'll admit it. But that one was actually, quote-unquote, supposed to be an infrastructure package itself, which is only 30%. I think it's less than 30%.
Right, the good one...
Infrastructure's as we know it.
You're right, the good one of the two...
This is communism.
It has 30%.
This is the first step of communism. They're going to give you everything you need. They're going to take care of your children. There's money in there to educate your children on new, exciting stuff in the future. I mean, this is communism if I've ever seen it in my life. You're not going to have to do anything, Sean. The government's going to take care of you. From here on out, it's you. But, oh, wait a minute. You're middle class.
Yeah.
You got to pay the bills.
Yes.
I forgot about you.
That's right. That's who always pays the bills.
You. So there's some tax structures changes that will be argued. The realtors have been calling me this morning, people trying to invest money. You know, they're talking about a 43% death tax. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So these are the things that are going to be argued over the next few weeks. And we just
will they be
watch.
Melded together, the 1.3 and the 3.5?
It'll all be put together, but go 3.5. It will go to the Senate, and it does not take – all it takes a majority on that one.
Okay, so they got it out of – so when it came out of the Senate with – They voted through the $1.3 trillion so they could get the Republican votes, knowing they couldn't get the $3.5. They do that on BIR. They send that to the House. It gets politically welded together, yep. The two, by Pelosi. And that gets put, and that gets sent back to the Senate, where it's simple majority, and it's prevented from – it's filibuster-proof.
Well, but let me give you something positive. They also pushed through the Amendment 4 yesterday, the H.R. 4. The H.R. 4 will redirect all the voting as we know it. The federal government will take over the voting
system. The Voting Rights Act or whatever.
Yeah, that got pushed through. It was straight line also. It will go to the Senate, and that one will require 60 votes. So you'll see that one die in the Senate. That's good news.
Right.
That is good news. Thank God for the Senate.
Yes.
You know, I wish we had that one more vote in Georgia. That one vote in Georgia is costing us so much today.
Elections have consequences.
One vote in Senate is costing us most all the aggravation we're going through today. And I'm not blaming an individual for that. I'm just saying that's how important just one seat is to America.
All right.
Or to conservatives.
And I'll ask you this before we wrap up, too. You know, you've been strong on this for a while, that Republicans would retake the House in the midterms. Let me ask you, with this story out there and what we're going through with Afghanistan, do you
We're going to play super, their clock. This is going to go on well past the election. The border issue is going to go on well past the election. I mean, there's just so many issues that we just pound the Democrats on back in their districts because they voted for this. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind. They voted for this.
Oh, you'll let
everybody
remember.
They've got to answer to the veteran community and tell them why they voted for this.
There it is. Congressman, as always, I appreciate your time with us. I appreciate what you're doing for us in Washington.
I appreciate it. I'm just so fortunate to represent this district. And God bless America. And please, everyone, keep all our elected officials in their prayers.
Well said. I'll talk to you soon. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1254 FM Talk 106.5 coming to the phones in just a minute. Right now, I want to say hello to my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM Motor Cars, and we always get to talk inventory. Larry, what's going on at the lot?
Well, we got in six fresh pieces yesterday. I'll talk about three of them real quick. One of them is we had a lot of calls for convertibles. We got a 2014 Mustang convertible. It's loaded. It's got low miles. It's a real pretty dark blue leather. I mean, like I said, really loaded out. Then we got in a 11 regular cab, long wheelbase work truck Dodge with only 64,000 miles. It's six cylinder. Everybody's been looking for those. And then we got a 13. I've got in another 13. We sold one last week. 13 Z71 crew cab 4x4 with way below average miles.
All right, you got a lot of people's attention there, so tell them how to come find you in the real world and online.
Highway 90 at Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Please like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM Motor Cars. All right, let me grab a call here, and if we've got a... We do this. We'll get as much as we can done this hour. Also have Cameron Smith coming up next hour, plus municipal talk as well. Sergeant Bubba goes to the front of the list, and he's first up. Hey, Sergeant Bubba.
Howdy.
Howdy.
I got a cure for that mess over there.
Okay.
Number one, Taliban does not play by the rules of engagement set up by the Geneva Convention.
Right.
All right. So quit playing by the Geneva Convention. Go in there with some daisy wads. We call them wad cutters in the arm. Hit them with about 10 of them B-52s, and then come in behind with them with 25 B-52s with napalm and smoke them and turn the whole place into a sheet of glass.
But let's get our people out of the way first, right? I mean, that's
we got smart bombs, and we got all this stuff. We can put the cameras on them bombs, and we can direct them in.
Okay. Well, there, Sergeant Bubba, I appreciate the call. Let's go to RC in Mobile. Next up. Hey, RC.
Hey, brother. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right, man. Appreciate the call. Your thoughts on this?
Man, God bless America right off the bat.
Yep.
If you don't love America, hey, leave. Go to one of these other countries, and it won't be long, 6 months or less, you'll be back.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes going out and going somewhere else. I got to do a lot of that when I was young to make you love your country even more.
Oh, yeah, because I know people from other countries, and they said it brings tears to their eyes the way the Americans want to act here in America. It's sad. But if they lived in their country for a little while, they'd be glad to be here.
Yep. Well said.
Let me tell you something. When we went over there to Afghanistan, that's the biggest mess up in the in history.
Yeah.
Why in the world would we draw troops out when we got all this stuff over here, billions of dollars of air, combat stuff? Why in the world are we going to walk off and let them have it?
I mean, you got to call the president on that one, RC. I mean, I got no answer because I'm as frustrated as you are.
I wish to God I could call him, and I hope is that y'all fix to impeach him.
Yeah, but let's get the people out first.
On this country. If he don't want to put America first, he don't need to be in office.
There we go. And I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And your anger and mine are the same. I do want to make sure we do everything to focus on getting our people and the people that helped us out. And then we can kick everybody's shins. Now, we'll talk about this some with Cameron Smith. He joins me next hour right here on Midday Mobile.